Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance at the best price. And if there's a claim, they are your teammate. They will jump right in and they will be your greatest advocate. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Terry Bowden and Jack Hamm tomorrow. Later in the show, Phil Savage will join us. In a few moments, Melanie Collins. But first, our play-by-play call of the day.
2-1. Stanton is swinging a drive. Deep center field. Back goes Caesar at the wall. Goodbye! Number 50! Giancarlo Stanton with the 44th 50 home run season in baseball history.
Outstanding call. That did it justice, and that was a game winner yesterday for the Marlins. His 50th home run of the season. He has been on a tear since the All-Star game. As much as Aaron Judge was on a tear before the All-Star game, Giancarlo Stanton has then taken it to another level since the All-Star game. Very pleased to bring in a good friend who is doing so well and will be on part of the broadcast team for the Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens game, Melanie Collins. Mel, it's always great to hear you.
Steve Jones, always great to hear from you, too. What's going on?
We're doing well, and I'm thrilled for you. What was it like?
Thank you.
What was it like getting that call that you were going to be working in the National Football League?
It was pretty hilarious, actually. I was down in Florida at my parents' place, and I had gotten a text from my boss just saying, hey, I need to talk to you briefly. Do you have a minute? And, of course, I always think the worst when I get a text like that. I'm thinking, oh, no, what did I do? Or what am I in trouble for? And my mom was like, just hold on. It might be good news. So we were at the grocery store, and we drove back to the house, and he called me about 10 minutes later. And, he gave me the news that I got an NFL game, and I hung up the phone and came running inside, and I was jumping up and down like a little kid. And my parents were yelling, and we were just so excited. So it was amazing. Definitely a moment I won't forget.
I can hear your mom saying, oh, it'd be good news. I could hear her saying that.
So. That's my mom. Always the positive one.
Oh, Nancy always is. All the time.
Yes.
All right. Now, for you, you've worked your way to this point. I want to get a little bit to the Mayweather-McGregor fight. You did a lot of tweeting about that the other night. What were your thoughts of watching that play out?
Oh, that was just awesome. It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. I kind of went into the fight. My boyfriend's a huge Conor McGregor fan, and I like Conor, but I'm kind of in the mindset of like, okay, he has no chance against Floyd Mayweather, and I've been saying that for months. I'm like, it's Floyd Mayweather, you know, the best pound-for-pound boxer in the history of boxing. Like, you don't just go from UFC and jump in a boxing ring and beat this guy. And I honestly thought McGregor wasn't going to do as well as he did, but I was impressed. He had a great jab. He you know, brought Mayweather out from the exterior where he usually hangs out and makes everybody chase him and made him fight an aggressive fight. And I was impressed with him. And I give him credit for going in there and, you know, going in a ring that he's not used to and putting up a good fight against Mayweather.
And then I looked at the judges' scorecards. And I thought, especially early in the fight, I thought the first three rounds, I thought McGregor did really well in round six.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had it 9-1.
Yeah, I know. I wish. I mean, are you even surprised though with like boxing judges?
I'm not.
But it was total BS. I agree. McGregor definitely had the first three rounds, in my opinion.
All right, you've done a lot of things along the way. Now you have this assignment. Give me what the mindset of a sideline reporter has to be, especially going into an NFL game and dealing with that environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of preparation. I found out about the game almost 2 weeks ago now, and I've been studying those entire 2 weeks. And, you know, it's hard because you don't have the final roster yet before the game, and you don't really know exactly what to study, but I guess every day I'm kind of keeping up with the new storylines that are coming out, whether it's Burfict might be suspended or, you know, Joe Flacco's back injury, when will he return? You're kind of just keeping up with everything that's going on with those two teams. And, I mean, my mindset is positive. I'm so excited. I've had 3 years of live sideline experience with CBS Sports Network now, and
right.
I've kind of been working towards this place, and, you know, my goal has been to get on the NFL sideline. So, for me, it's just a ton of preparation, trying to fit enough information in my head that I'm ready for every aspect of the game. And, you know, it's as a sideline reporter, it's tough because you do all this preparation and you spend hours and hours and hours, you know, learning information. But when you go into the actual game, you end up speaking for maybe 3 minutes if you're lucky. You get 6 to 10 hits if you're lucky, and maybe one interview. So right. I would say I end up using 5 to 10% of the information that I've learned for the game, and I think that's the most frustrating part. But my mindset is positive and excited. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I've always told people, they've asked me in play by play in preparation, I've always told them, I said, I think during when I'm done, I probably use 2% of it. But the 2% changes every game, so you don't know which 2% it is.
That's the problem, and you never know when you're going to get some surprise, you know, thing that you didn't really prepare to talk about. So it's like you said, you always have to be prepared for everything.
You did the show on Golf Channel, which we've talked about before. We had Paul Page on last year.
Because I love Paul Page.
Yeah, Paul's a pro's pro, and of course you've done the Nathan's Hot Dog.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And we asked Paul about that, and I asked about you. He loves you. He just thinks you're cool. What is that?
I love him too.
What is that experience like? Because it is... While being portrayed as being, quote, a sporting event, there are hundreds and hundreds of people there, and you're trying to handle this.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's disgusting, and it's amazing all at the same time. I don't know how else to describe it. You know, I got asked to do it for the first time 3 years ago, and, you know, I remember watching that with my dad growing up. Like, it was something that I feel like it's become this weird, like, American tradition on the 4th of July. Like, if you're not out somewhere having a barbecue, you are watching that hot dog eating contest, because it's like a car wreck in a sense. Like, you don't want to look, but you can't look away. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a cool experience to be there in Coney Island. It's, you know, massive crowds come for it, and gosh, there's so many moving parts to it, and every year I think there's no way that these people can eat more, you know? And what is the limit? Like, at what point are they going to hit 100 hot dogs one year? Like, I keep doing it because I'm like, I just want to see them eat 100 hot dogs. It's crazy.
In between Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi and so forth and the whole group.
Yeah.
It's
nauseating. And the funniest part is, like, I have to stand there on the side stage and kind of give updates on pacing as the competition's going on. So for that 10 minutes, I have to watch pretty much every second of these people, like, crunching up a hot dog bun, dunking it in the water, you know, trying to gag it down. So it's like I'm standing there, like, trying to not throw up while I'm watching it. But, no, it's honestly really – it's really cool. And then you had Matt Stoney win 2 years ago, who's,
right.
like, my size.
Yeah.
So it's just cool to see what these people can, like, train their stomachs to do.
It is amazing. Obviously, you've worked really hard, which, let's face it, all of us who worked with you before knew that you would work really hard to get to whatever point.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Because you have. Have the twists and turns surprised you at all along the way to have it now get to the next step, which is a really important one for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say going into this career, you know, back when I worked with you and I was in school at Penn State still, I kind of had a roadmap in my mind of how I thought things would play out and when I would end up where and what and so on. But I'm definitely surprised at some of the roadblocks I met along the way and, you know, some of the twists and turns my career took up until now. I mean, I graduated... let's see, 9 years ago now, or 9 years ago. And yeah, I think the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is not go into this career thinking that you have it all mapped out, because it never seems to work out exactly how you thought. But yeah, I've gotten a lot of great experiences along the way, and everything's kind of brought me to this point. So I wouldn't trade any of it.
No, absolutely not. But it also doesn't play out the way you think it's going to play out.
Right.
But it's also important along the way to gain the trust of a really good producer. And along the way, give me a couple of producers that you, as a talent, trust that when they talk to you, when no one else in the world can hear them talking to you, that you say, yep, okay, got it. There's a reason why you want me to do it. Who would that be?
Oh, geez. So with CBS, it's definitely Carlo Generini. I worked with him on most of my games last year. But for the first 7 games of the season, I had, I think 7 different producers.
Wow.
So unfortunately, you're not always, you know, given the luxury of having one producer with your broadcast team. So I was lucky to have, you know, Dave Ryan and Corey Chavis every week as my analyst and play-by-play. But for whatever reason, you know, producers are moved around on different games, and it was hard to find a continuity and a trust with a producer. So, I mean, all you can really do is go out there and just trust whoever you're with, because you don't really have another choice.
Yeah.
But Carla Generini is someone who definitely I always felt extremely comfortable going into games with, and he helped me kind of map out, you know, where we wanted to do certain hits, and if it didn't happen that way, then he was really good on the fly with kind of, you know, telling me what to get ready for, because he was going to throw down to me for this. So he's definitely someone that has been awesome. And then I filled in on Sports Nation for Michelle Beadle probably 15 or 20 times now. And
yes.
Chris Healy, who works for ESPN out there in LA, is an unbelievable producer. And before each show would sit there with me for an hour and go through every block of the show, every highlight, every guy's name, just to make sure I was comfortable with it and I knew exactly what was going on. So Chris Healy and Carla Generini, those are two guys that are awesome producers that I have really enjoyed working with.
When you sit down for a pregame meeting with a coach or a player, what are a couple of goals you have in mind based on the job you have to do?
Good question. I think for me personally as the sideline reporter, I'm trying to find a way, you know, I didn't used to play football, so a lot of, you know, what the broadcasters can bring to the table, I can't. So I'm always trying to find something from a player or a coach that I can add that like kind of solidifies my spot at the table, that shows that I have a reason to be there. So whether that's, you know, something that I get through a relationship with a player and I can call them up and say, hey, how do you really feel about this? Or what really went on in this team meeting or whatever, then I think it's using that relationship or, you know, my goal is just to come up with information that the people in the stands couldn't find with a Google search, that you know, that kind of comes from nowhere sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but you're always looking to add something different to the broadcast and something that's entertaining and kind of shows that you have a place there. Because, you know, sideline reporters a lot of times have those preconceived notions about us that we're kind of useless out there sometimes. And so I'm always kind of trying to prove that I have a reason to be there and there's a reason that, you know, I was hired for the position. And I'm always trying to find different information.
Well, you always do, and you do a
thank you.
You do a great job, and I hope the Ravens Bengals game is the first of many of those sideline assignments. You have
me too.
You have earned
thank
your spot,
you.
So you've earned it.
Thanks to you, Steve. You're my first host ever. So my first co-host ever.
And
so thanks for all the good teaching.
You've gone far up from there. So
thank you.
Thanks, Mel. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Melanie Collins joining us on the show today. She'll be working sideline on the Bengals and the Ravens. She's done many things during the course of her career. She's filled in for Michelle Beadle several times. She did the golf show. You see her on the Nathan's Hot Dogs. And did a lot of work last year with CBS Sports Net. And she grew up in State College. So I am completely thrilled for her.
Just a couple of years ago. There's a big Friday night football game when Bucknell and Fordham had a big matchup.
Yep.
A couple Fridays ago. That one, Joe Moorhead went toe-to-toe with Joe Susan, and Melanie was on the sidelines that night.
That's right.
It was an overtime game, too.
Absolutely. Phil Savage in the final half hour. His book comes out tomorrow. The Brilliant Man in the final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. it's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Next, everybody who's been checking out the Steve Jones Show podcast, if you have not subscribed, make sure you go to either your iTunes, your Apple Podcast app, or Google Play, and just type in Steve Jones Show. You're good to go, and you can check out any previous show you may have missed, or you can just go to our podcast page at stevejonesshow.com.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll have some fun tonight, don't you think?
We will. Another gorgeous night. When we found out, you know, like last Wednesday, that we're going to have this great long stretch of beautiful weather, I kept thinking, just one more day. Just make sure it lasts into Monday, yeah. And sure enough, we'll have that tonight. So
we'll be out battling the trains tonight.
Right. Well, we're jamming and talking football on the outdoor terrace at Front Street Station, so looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to it. I always enjoy this night. Now, watching the suit squirm, he's not really a people person.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable. But that's all right. But he's back. He's back in the saddle.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a little impromptu appearance on Sunbury Motors game night on Friday night. We were breaking down the Shikellamy game, so.
Had him on Wednesday on the show. He took up 2/3 of the segment. I actually left at one point, came back, he was still talking.
He did. Some things never change.
That's not funny. It's not funny. Oh, yeah.
Well, this is definitely the week that we've been waiting for. Finally, game week has arrived, yeah. And just looking forward to hearing our Thursday night tradition with you and the coach here on WKOK. We're looking forward to that. So, any specific thing you may be looking for in practice this week?
No. Because they've already done bonus practices on this game. So, I expect more of the same this week. They already know what they want to do. So, it's just a question now doing it. So I'll be honest with you. I think this is a week where you go in. They've got today off. Okay, they did a walkthrough last night. So they always have Monday off. Even next Monday with Labor Day, they've got the day off. And then they'll do work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Do a little bit of a walkthrough on Friday and go to the hotel. I expect nothing this week. This is a case where, as you know, as I've always said, whether you're a football team or a broadcaster, if you don't have it down by Thursday, there is nothing you can do to correct, you know, where you are before Saturday. Well, that's the same story with this. They're really about, they know what they want to do and why they want to do it now. Because they've been doing this since July 31st. I mean, July 31st, they've been doing this. This has been 4 weeks, right? Of a month's worth of doing this.
Well, it's like what Joe Susan said in the last half hour. The kids are just chomping at the bit to find someone else on the same field that has a different colored jersey.
But this is the only level of football where you don't play anything in the preseason. High school football has scrimmages, sometimes one, sometimes two scrimmages. Pro football, of course, has preseason games. I think the CFL has one or two, and the NFL has four, and in two cases, five. College football has none. So when Michigan plays Florida, Alabama plays Florida State, Penn State plays Akron, that's the first game out of the gate. That's your first shot at it. Now, how I feel about football today is that for the first 3 weeks of the season, I felt the last couple of years tackling nationally has suffered a bit. And then after the third game, once everybody's used to tackling, because you're trying to stay away from that as much as possible these days in practice. Everybody's staying away from it. Then you start to see the game settle down. That's about when the conference starts. But we'll see how it plays out. And this past weekend was underwhelming. I thought Oregon State, Colorado State was the one game I was looking forward to watching some. I watched some of it, and I liked what I saw. It was enjoyable to watch it. I mentioned the San Jose State game earlier. They only sold 13,000 tickets for that game. That's opening night. If you're recruiting against San Jose State, what do you got? Just show them an overhead picture of the stadium and say, is that where you want to play? It's disappointing. Now, you have these made-for-TV games, Florida State, Alabama, Florida, Michigan. Terrific. Get you out of the gate. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business insurance. They have it all. Not only that, they'll find you the best possible price with exactly the coverage you need. If there's a claim, you can't ask for a better partner. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Mayweather-McGregor fight on Saturday night is estimated to have been viewed by nearly 3 million people on 239 illegal streams, digital platform security company Loreto reported to Forbes. They believe that 2,930,598 people illegally watched the fight on social media channels and streaming sites. The fight was shown on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitch. Several ads for the illegal streams were placed on sites across the country, including eBay and Amazon. In some of these streams, digital Robin Hoods were viewers who purchased the fight and would stream their television or screen that was showing the fight for the viewers to see it for free. No wonder the suit watched it.
If I had the opportunity to watch it for free, I probably would have, but didn't start till way after midnight. Then they had the delay. Because there's various outlets of pay-per-view services that were crashing across the country.
I did not watch it, so.
Did not either. No, and I actually didn't even hear the official length of what the delay was.
No, find out the results of the morning, so.
And neither did I.
But yeah, illegal streaming. Wow. Boy. How about that? So, great. All right, Phil Savage. Phil was with the Browns many years ago. He's been a general manager. He's been a scout. He's on Sirius XM. He's currently the color analyst on the Alabama Football Network, and he has written a book that comes out tomorrow. Phil, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Well, good afternoon. I hope you guys are doing well. Thank you.
I appreciate that. You've had probably a great seat, maybe a better seat than most people, to see how Nick Saban goes about his business. Where is he the same as he was in those days when all of you guys were together in Cleveland? Where is he different now?
Yeah, of course, I joined the Brown staff. We all got together in the spring of 1991 under Bill Belichick with the original Browns. And this is what how I would describe it. We went out on the field for the first time in April of 91, and Nick Saban is coaching the defensive backs, and the he's the defensive coordinator as well. I'm sort of his assistant as a quality control coach, and those were the two areas that he was responsible for, 10 or 12 defensive backs and as the defensive coordinator. Now you spin forward almost, 30 years, and he's responsible for discipline, media, strength and conditioning, recruiting, X's and O's, offense, defense, special teams, everything, the complete program. And yet when Alabama hits the field this afternoon, he's going to be doing the same drills, throwing the ball the same way as he did back in Berea in 1991. So I think that's one of the characteristics that I really marvel at, is the fact that he has been able to keep his hands on the proverbial coaching wheel. He has not turned his football team over to other people. He doesn't turn recruiting over to other people. Everybody has a role to play, but he's still the man that's making the decisions and the choices and putting everything together for them.
Now, obviously, with Bill Belichick, there's obviously, you pick up a little bit from everybody along the way, but he actually was fascinated with what the Cowboys did years ago with Gil Brandt and the computerized scouting system, wasn't he?
Yeah, what happened on that, of course, when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys in 1989, Tom Landry was famously let go, along with Gil Brandt, the personnel director, and Tex Schramm, the president. And so, Gil was doing some consulting work, and in 1991, our first season, we sort of just went through the year with the scouting system that was in place when Bill Belichick took over the Browns. And then in the spring of 92, Gil began showing up in Berea and implementing really the skeleton of the Cowboys system that had been developed from the early 1960s up until 1989, when they were all let go. And so, Bill Belichick told me one time he did not have any experience in player personnel prior to becoming the head coach, and he felt like that was a bit of a hole in his resume. And so I think after a year on the job, he figured out that, hey, we need to get a system in place. So they brought Gil in. They began to formulate the philosophy, the prerequisites at all the different positions and those sorts of things. And then, the original Browns, we became the Ravens. We carried that system with us. They still use it to this day in Baltimore. I carried it with me when I went back to Cleveland in 05 as the GM. There are a number of teams that, have versions of that way of doing things, and Alabama does as well, because Nick Saban, began to evaluate prospects in a similar fashion at Michigan State, at LSU, then a couple years at the Dolphins, and then when he got back to Alabama, he put all of that in place. And that's really sort of the backstory of where this team comes from. And when Alabama comes out of the tunnel on Saturday night against Florida State, I mean, they look like a great team. They may not play great all the time, but they look the part, and really all of that is attributed to the height, weight, speed charts that they put in place over the years.
Phil, obviously, I work with Jack Hamm, and I know how Jack goes about his work and getting ready for our broadcast. And, he watches a lot of tape, he goes to a lot of practice, and he formulates, going in what he sees. In working with Eli Gold since 2009, you put together your own scouting report, but you also then forward that to Nick, and he's used that with his coaches the entire time. What are some things specifically that you look for that you appreciate as someone who evaluates talent and scheme that Nick also appreciates?
Yeah, it's sort of funny how this happened. When I got the color job in the summer, in the May of 2009, we were playing Virginia Tech in the opener. I just felt like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. So I called Todd Blackledge and Rich Gannon and a guy named David Norrie. They were all former quarterbacks turned analysts, and said, hey, what do I need to do? And they said, well, preparation is going to be a huge thing for you. So I began to sort of put my radio notes together in sort of a scouting form, and probably about a week week and a half before that first game, I sent it to Tuscaloosa. Nick's assistant, a lady named Linda Leone, was my assistant when I was the GM of the Browns. So we've all been friends all over these years. And I said, hey, here's some bathroom reading for Coach Saban, with sort of a chuckle. And anyway, that was, I didn't think anything of it. Bama won the game. And then 2 days later on a Monday morning, all of a sudden my phone's blowing up and Linda's trying to find out, hey, where are your notes for Florida International, FIU, which was their second game? I'm like, I didn't know I was supposed to be doing this every single week. And so now that sort of tradition has become maybe some of the superstition that goes along with sports. I mean, look, my notes are the Cliff Notes version compared to what the staff and the analysts are looking for that, you know, are behind the scenes there. But in reality, I do think that I can give an overview of a team, maybe some of the history of the coach, maybe some of the guys that, you know, potentially are NFL prospects in terms of, you know, strengths and weaknesses for a given player or a given position unit. But, you know, those are sort of the elements of it. But it's really, it's been really more beneficial for me because it keeps me on point and in tune with the opponent for Alabama. And remember, you know, I didn't directly replace Kenny the Snake Stabler,
right?
Because they'd had a year of interim color guys in 2008. But I knew that there was no way with the legacy that the Snake left, the background, the playing history that he had at Alabama and then in the NFL there. So there's no way I can measure up to that. But where I can fill in some blanks here is knowing the other team, knowing about their players, and then having a good idea of what Alabama may or may not try to accomplish in a given game with their strategy.
And then working that in with what Eli Gold does, I mean, that's where the teamwork comes into play.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm not sure how you guys do it, but Eli and I virtually have never met in regards to in advance of the game. I usually give him a star to watch for one of our sponsor segments during the pregame. But in seeing his depth chart boards and knowing the kind of homework that he's done over the course of a week getting ready for the game, and then I think, you know, his appreciation for what I do, we just really have worked well together. We've become very good friends. And, you know, it's a lot easier to call these games when your team's winning. And, you know, the Tide has 100 wins and 11 losses since 2009. So it's been quite a ride.
So also some moments, I'll give you an example, the Texas A&M game that you point out in the book where, you know, we talk in baseball all the time about, well, he's tipping his pitches. They tipped their playbook in that game to Alabama, didn't they?
Well, they really did. And, of course, I think it became sort of known across the SEC that, you know, if their offensive linemen were in one stance, it would trigger a certain package of plays. If they were in a different stance, it sort of indicated a different set of plays. And Reuben Foster, the number one pick for the 49ers, had 12 tackles that game. And there were times where he literally was in the backfield almost at the point of the handoff for A&M. And so, you know, those were reactions that were triggered by what they were doing. And, you know, I'm assuming that after all the coverage that it got during the season that A&M's probably going to throw some change-ups in there this year. But, yeah, those are, you know, those are little subtle things that the staff is always looking for in terms of trying to gain that advantage. And I had never been exposed to that until I got to the Browns in 1991. We had, you know, a Pro Bowl-level outside backer, Clay Matthews, you know, who's Clay Matthews Jr.'s dad. He had a 17-year career himself, actually 19 years, and of course he's the brother of Bruce Matthews, but Clay was on that, yep, Browns team, as was Mike Johnson, who had a distinguished career in the USFL and then with the Browns in the NFL. And I remember being at training camp those first few practices, and they were all of a sudden, you know, they're chirping out bird, bird, or rabbit, rabbit, meaning run or pass. And I'm like, I don't even know what these guys are talking about, because I'd always been on the offensive side of things. And they're like, oh yeah, look at the weight of the stance. When they're in a 3-point stance, look, his fingers are lightly touching the ground. You know, he's definitely going to a pass set where he's leaning forward a little bit with a little bit more weight on his hand that's in the ground, so it looks like it's going to be a run. And, you know, it was just sort of amazing to see the nuances that these guys recognized in just a matter of seconds, and then they could react from there.
I get the impression when I watch Jalen Hurts, and of course, look, he's just a kid, but that he absolutely trusts his stuff and himself when he's running the football, but that he's not quite sure yet with the parameters of what his stuff happen to be when he throws the football. But over time, he may get there where it's even equal with both. Is that an accurate assessment, or is that a little bit off?
I'd say overall, that's probably pretty true. You know, with Jalen, he was a true freshman last year. He showed up in mid-year as a mid-year enrollee, went through spring football, and then essentially won the job in camp, although he didn't take over the role until the second quarter of the USC game. But I think one of the things that's happened, I've talked a lot about this on SiriusXM of late when I've done shows there, is the fact that, you know, the whole world, it seems like high school and college football has gone the way of the dual threat quarterback. And, you know, the high school coach wants to win, so he puts his best athlete back there, and they do the zone read stuff, some easy throws, and they win and go to the state playoffs, and everybody's happy. Well, then that player goes on to college, and now that coach is forced having to try and win at all costs. He's got a great athlete, makes him a dual threat. Hey, we run the spread system, you win, and now you move on to the NFL. Uh-oh, now all of a sudden you got to go under center, play action pass, read a coverage that changes after the ball is snapped, and then throw it into a tighter window that you've ever seen before. So it's a totally different experience for these kids, and I think where Alabama and Jalen Hurts comes into play in terms of where I'm going with this is the fact that Hurts is a dual threat quarterback. But I think under Brian Daboll, the new offensive coordinator, they absolutely are going to try to fill in the blanks for him, you know, on those second and nine calls, the third and eight situations, where he can become a more efficient, proficient passer in terms of his reads and actual delivery. Because he can throw the deep ball, and you have to respect that, and he can take off and run, so you have to respect that. But it's that in between, the short to intermediate passing game, some of those subtle nuances that I think he'll really improve upon this year.
The premier postseason college all-star game is the Reese's Senior Bowl. You're the executive director of that. Give me the importance to you of making sure, and the meticulous process of making sure you get the best prospects there with the two pro staffs there.
Well, of course, we can invite 110 players to the game here, and I think it's vitally important, having been in the league, that the Senior Bowl is a great place to comparison shop. In other words, you've scouted all fall, and now all of a sudden you get a chance to watch seven defensive backs or seven wide receivers in drills go one after the other. And so you can make that comparison. You get a chance to see eight corners go back to back to back in their you know, pedal drills and plant and drive. And you can really make some judgments here. So it's important for us to try to get the best players so that the 32 teams can make those comparisons and, you know, get ready for the combine. You know, one of the goals of a lot of the teams is to get the 110 of these guys interviewed in Mobile so they can put that aside and focus on a different set of players at the combine where they only get 15 minutes to talk to them. So, you know, it's a piece of the overall draft puzzle. It's certainly not the end-all, be-all, but it is an important chip in terms of putting the package all together for these 32 clubs. And we've seen numerous players, you know, really help themselves here. We had Hassan Reddick from Temple in our game last year. Hassan, when I saw him in October, most scouts were saying he's probably about a third-round defensive end. Well, we offered him the opportunity to come here and suggested that he move to an inside linebacker or a box linebacker position. He did that. By midweek, people were saying, this guy's got first-round talent. By the time the draft came around, he went 13th overall. So we've had some really good success with those kinds of stories, and we take it very seriously. I think we're on our 400-player watch list. We'll probably see about 300 of those players in person in some way, shape, or form at a practice or in a game this fall.
Final question, Phil, and appreciate your time very much. Obviously, you're working on what Alabama's doing. Of course, they got the big opener coming up as well. What have been your thoughts watching the comeback of Penn State, authored by James Franklin?
Well, it's been a remarkable turnaround, considering that, you know, Bill O'Brien goes there for a couple of years, then opts to go to the NFL, and the program is shaken in terms of, okay, now you're going to, in many ways, change philosophies, change offensive schemes. And when I was there on the camp tour, I want to say it was 2 years ago, you know, James pointed out some young players and said, hey, these guys are going to be players for us. And inevitably, that's what has happened. They had a magical run at it last year. And, you know, this year there are a number of players on our Reese's Senior Bowl watch list. So they've recruited well. They've now developed some of these players as well. And look, it's Ohio State and Penn State in the East this year. I think Michigan certainly is going to have the potential to be good, but they replace so many players, it's hard to fathom that they could automatically just be a very good team this year. I think they can be, but going into the season, you have to think it's Ohio State and Penn State in the East.
The book is entitled Fourth and Goal Every Day, Alabama's Relentless Pursuit of Perfection, co-authored with veteran sports writer Ray Glier. Nick even wrote a preface for it as well, and it's being released tomorrow by St. Martin's Press. With great respect for your work always, Phil, thanks so much for the time you gave us today.
Oh, no problem, and thank you so much for the time. And like I say, I'm a football guy. I wrote a football book. It's not necessarily just for the Alabama fan. It's for football fans in general. I think it'll give the reader some of those Paul Harvey type, now you know the rest of the story type moments.
Looking forward to it very much. Thanks, Phil. Hey, have a great season. We look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, I appreciate it. Tell Jack I said hello.
Phil Savage, and I will. Jack will be on the show tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We'll come back in a few moments. Jack Ham, Terry Bowden, tomorrow on the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Sunbury Motors Kia had their best July in 5 years.
Thanks to the drastic discounts on all new Kias.
Guess what? SMC is doing it again in August.
We wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Those drastic discounts are extended into August at SMC. And there are 76 new Kias to choose from. 2017 Kia Fortes start at $15,997. 2017 Kia Souls as low as $16,698. The 2017 Hybrid ZUV, the Kia Niro, starting at $22,879. Plus, Sunbury Motors Kia has accepted a special shipment of 5 2017 Serenos that are priced at just $24,989. And SMC has financing as low as 0% for up to 66 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia, on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, and at sunburymotorskia.com.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 8/31/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Penn State football is on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Penn State Nittany Lions are Big Ten champions.
Penn State football is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, Register Chevrolet, Turbotville National Bank, and Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. Join us on News Radio 1070 WKOK this Saturday for the Penn State Nittany Lions hosting the Akron Zips. The game kicks off at noon and pregame starts at 10:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jack Ham and Terry Bowden on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Also looking forward to Front Street Station tonight. Sean and I will be there. I think Drew might show up.
He will. Mm-hmm.
Dick Hort, the Chief. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else.
Steve Williams
will be there.
Greg Wetzel
will be there. Great.
Justin Michaels.
Raj will be there. Is there any?
Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, yes. Is anybody else?
Okay, you mentioned Coach. Mentioned Horty.
Yeah. I think we got everybody important.
Okay.
All good.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something missing.
He's already studying Braves game tape, getting ready for Friday.
He wouldn't be wearing a jacket and a tie, would he?
Or company polo.
All the free stuff.
Yes.
Believe me, with a child in college, you wear a lot of free stuff. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.